Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
We're slow learners. We're not particularly good listeners.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's another movie show. It's the last weekend before Valentine's Day, and so you'd think Hollywood would drop a bunch of quality romantic-type movies to have you go to the theater, get out, spend some time, especially if you're already married so you don't have to worry about the no talking during the movie part. But instead they give us Lisa Frankenstein.
Yeah, well,
I guess that's what happens when you have a midweek Valentine's Day.
Well, the Taste of Things is opening on Valentine's Day itself.
Okay.
So, and that is a beautiful love story.
Okay, so, all right. But it's a foreign movie. We don't have any American ones. Huh.
Interesting. Well, it has to be American.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
We have Lover, Stalker, Killer.
Those are the things that we're going to talk about on today's movie show. But, Steve, let's begin with our big movie review sponsored by Paris RV. With spring around the corner, you wouldn't know it with the snow today. And the deals sizzling hot on the 2023 RVs at Paris RV, so check them out at parisrv.com. Let's listen to some sound from Lisa Frankenstein.
Your hand? I can't believe you're here.
Do you like music?
I have the cure.
Oh, not that kind of cure.
They can't make you better. I mean, they can, but, like, emotionally.
No, don't cry. Your tears smell so bad.
All right, Steve. It's an attempted mix of comedy, horror, and romance. It's an attempted mix of those.
And done all awkwardly.
Very much so.
And this is Diablo Cody, who wrote Juno.
Yes.
Which was great. She won an Academy Award for it. And then later on, she did Jennifer's Body. So you're going to try to have to figure out, is this more Jennifer's Body or Juno? And it's definitely more Jennifer's Body.
Agreed. And in all maybe the wrong ways, it stars Catherine Newton, who you'll know as the current Ant-Man daughter and future Ant-Man, probably going ahead in the Marvel Universe. Ant-Man, yeah. Ant-Man woman, whatever.
It was a Cassie Lang.
Yeah. So she plays Lisa, who goes through a tragedy in her youth and then in her teenage years likes to read poetry to gravestones in a cemetery.
Well, it's a really cute statue. You know, the guy there is like looked like a Jim Morrison statue.
Looked kind of like Cole Sprouse, I thought.
Oh, well, maybe that was intended.
But anyway, so she does that. There's she's got her stepsister. Her dad remarries after this tragedy where her mother dies in a gruesome way. And then she goes to a party. She gets a little bit unintentionally inebriated or psychedelically altered.
Yeah.
And there's a crazy lightning storm that night. And
ta-da! He comes back, reanimated.
Because she wishes, I wish I was with you. That's what she said. I wish I was with you.
Yeah. And he thought outside, and she meant inside.
Because she's a goth. This is like set in 1989. That, to me, was what I liked, that it was set in the late 80s. I thought that provided some fun. But, my gosh, Steve, this was all over the map.
Yeah.
All over the map. And way too into some weird stuff. I felt like when I was done watching it that they had an idea. It made me wonder what the pitch was to the executives. Like, let's make this movie. Diablo Cody's like, I've got this story that does this. And then I'm wondering, as they got into it, they just realized this isn't going to work in the way we maybe imagined it. So let's just go bonkers.
Well, first-time director, Zelda Williams, which is Robin Williams' daughter.
Ah, so maybe that has something to do
with it. Well, I'm thinking that she had a little pull there. She'd probably be like, come on, man, my dad would love this movie. And no, he wouldn't.
Yeah, it has like Beetlejuice vibes. It has.
That's the thing. There's some cuteness in it. And then all of a sudden, like, shoom. You know, they're chopping stuff that has no business being chopped.
For me, I feel like it wasn't funny enough, scary enough, or romantic enough to overcome all of its problems. Like, if it was maybe one of those things, you could say, all right, well, go check it out as this kind of a movie. But it didn't hit any of those for me.
Well, yeah, exactly. The young woman who we actually started to like, you know, because she went through that tragedy and she was
Her stepsister.
Yeah, living through all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, she's an accomplice in, you know, murders and doesn't seem to have any remorse at all about it.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
It's a pretty jarring veer. And the only thing I would say that was kind of fun about it, like if you're going to see this ever, maybe go in the theater when there's a chance. There might be a bunch of other people, because it was kind of fun to hear a person laugh here or there. That kind of, oh yeah, that is kind of.
There were
funny.
Two young women sitting in front of me, and they were giggling the whole time.
And I don't mind being the loud laugher in a theater either. So if something struck me as funny, I didn't mind being the only one laughing sometimes, and maybe that helped somebody else.
There was a modicum of giggling.
A modicum of giggling going on the movie poster for Lisa Frankenstein. For me, Steve, I gave this a D.
Ooh, I gave it a C.
Okay, so you were a little more kind than I was to it. I did feel like Catherine Newton was having a blast.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed it.
I love Carla Gugino, although she's not in it very long.
Carla Gugino. Somebody's like, Carla Gugino slumming in this? Yes, yes, she is.
Yes.
So that is Lisa Frankenstein. It is rated PG-13, and maybe part of the problem, too.
That's the biggest surprise of all. That they managed to keep this in PG-13 territory.
The one chopping of the one body part was about as graphic as it could be without it actually being as graphic.
Well, again,
as it could
mind fills in the details.
Well, and then the slow motion with the
the blood spatter. Yeah,
yeah. So anyway, that is Lisa Frankenstein. I say stay away from this one personally.
Yeah, I don't know. The two young women that were sitting in front of me seemed to have a good time. I didn't care for it, but who knows? Maybe
go with some friends. You can make fun of it together.
Yeah.
So that is in wide release. The rest of today's movie show, our movie show preview, Steve, the other things we're going to talk about, you mentioned already Inheritance. Oh, no, you mentioned Lover, Stalker, Killer, which is going to come up in streaming. Another true crime on Netflix.
If you saw American Nightmare a couple weeks ago, this is in that same ballpark.
Similar vein. We've got The Teacher's Lounge, the German entrant to the Academy Awards race.
Although it didn't get nominated for Best Picture.
For Best Foreign Film. I know, I'd have to look it up. But it was Germany's submission to the Academy to be considered.
Right.
So, and then we've got Out of Darkness.
Yeah, this is, I call it primeval predator.
Yes, and from what I only got through about 20 minutes of it, and then I was falling asleep. And since none of it was in English, I was like, this is not going to go well.
It
was Foreign Caveman. And then we have one that I did think was very cute called Popular Theory.
Yes, I thought it was really sweet.
This one I'm looking forward to telling everybody about. And then we mentioned Inheritance to Love, a locally filmed and produced movie that's opening in a couple of local theaters. We'll talk about it when we get to it.
Yeah, with Jason Wade, who's been in every LDS cinema film.
Yeah, and this isn't an LDS film, per se.
There's no reference
to religion at all, but it is clean. Then on our big streaming, we're going to talk about Halo, the series on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, this is season two of Halo. I watched the first two episodes. It seems a little bit more grittier than the first season.
And then we have an actual rom-com called Upgraded with Camila Mendez from Riverside.
Yeah, that was cute.
Riverdale. That's fun. I was looking for. And then we have a series on Netflix called One Day, which is based on the book and the same as the 2011 Anne Hathaway movie, but it's different cast and it's a series instead. And that is all coming up on today's movie show, including today's text question. What is Utah's favorite rom-com? Well, we know what the stat says, Princess Bride, but we're curious what you think Utah's favorite rom-com is. So text us at 57500. Join the Movie Show Club by texting the word movie to 57500. And stick with us because we've got great prizes on telephone torture that are worth up to...
Many
dollars. Yeah, we don't go cheap on the movie show anymore, man.
We get
the good stuff.
Inflation.
The Movie Show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true, but you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
All right, Steve, we want to hear from our listeners today. We love it when you participate on the movie show. Text us at 57500. If you want to be part of the Movie Show Club, just text the word movie to 57500. It does have its benefits, including it'll give you a chance to win prizes during the week. So what we asked is, there was a study that says The Princess Bride is Utah's favorite rom-com. I have no idea what they quantify it with.
Yeah,
it could have just been Google searches. Like a lot of times that's the they send it. But we thought it was kind of a fun thing to think about. What is, as it's Valentine's weekend, and we have a midweek Valentine's, which is always hard for the dates because you'd rather do it on the Friday or Saturday or Sunday. But now we got Die Hard. That's a Christmas movie, not a Valentine's movie.
Braveheart.
Braveheart I could accept. But we're asking you, okay, whether you think Princess Bride is or don't. If you don't think it's Princess Bride, then tell us what you think Utah's favorite rom-com should be, and we'll read some of your texts later on. But Steve, let's review some movie right now. How about let's do Out of Darkness?
Oh, yeah.
Pana Rashum, Teesin Barafin and Susulardes.
Now, you got to understand, that's the language in the movie. It's a made-up, I assume it's a made-up language. It's not like early Germanic or anything like that.
But kind of had some Native American tones to it. Yeah, I wasn't sure where they came up with that.
So, it's all subtitled, and I was at the end of, this was going to be my fourth movie of the day.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And I just...
Because it's dark.
Yes, and there's long stretches where it's just peaceful and the wind is blowing, and then they say something and it's like, So, you're going to have to lead us on this one.
Okay, well, the first thing you should know is this movie is set 45,000 years ago. They make that clear. So it was like...
It's a contemporary to Adam Driver's movie last year.
They talk about, there's a small group of cave people. There's a couple of women. There's an old man. It seemed like when they came over one rise, there were like 12 people, and then it was down to like six. So I'm guessing some of the flora and fauna ate the natives. Who knows?
I did see about 20 minutes of it. Okay. They're migrating a little bit.
Yeah, they get on a boat, but you don't see the boat ever. Like, what? Couldn't build a boat? And they get to the shore, and they're looking for a promised land, someplace that, you know, they can live off the land and
find some nice warm caves.
Yes, exactly.
That they specifically said.
Yeah, which makes sense. You know, I mean, you know, you've got to build a house. You don't even know what a house is.
If the earth's done the work for you already,
let's do a cave. So the problem is they get out there, and some kind of weird creature is out there in the darkness. And this movie spends an inordinate amount of time with guys, cave dudes with sticks. You know, they sharpened them up. One actually had it look like a bone.
Makes
kind
sense.
Of a fancy one. The white.
They're sharp.
Yeah. Well, he sharpened it up, and then they go out there and like, oh, what was that? Oh, look behind you. Oh no, it's over there. And one by one, you know, they get picked off like the predator. So I thought, okay, it's just going to be prehistoric predator.
All right.
And I'm okay with that. And you know, the numbers are dwindling, and it's only an hour and a half movie, so there's a lot
which is good, considering that's, you're not going to understand a word.
There's a lot of walking through the jungles, not jungles, but
caves,
trees, forests, stuff like that, and you know, looking around every corner. They spend an inordinate amount of time looking for stuff, and sometimes the stuff finds them, sometimes they find the stuff.
Is it good?
Well, the ending is ridiculous.
Oh, so not only is it unintelligible, long stretches of walking, the ending is ridiculous.
Well, the ending is like, oh, come on, really? That's it?
Now, you're not going to suddenly give it like a B+, are you?
Maybe not.
You were. I just guessed your rate.
No, I actually forgot to rate this one.
It's a horror movie, though. I mean, it's supposed to be a tense, like, thriller kind of horror, because something's hunting him, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so there you go.
Yeah. I mean, but... like, not regular horror kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. No, not like supernatural horror.
No, this is more like predator horror.
Okay.
So, it's okay.
All right.
It's not great.
What would you give it?
Now that you put me on the spot, probably a C+.
C+. Okay, so that is called Out of Darkness, rated R?
It is rated R.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there's like a...
Was that for language?
I would assume blood.
Come on, language, right?
Oh, duh. Where's the delayed rim
work,
shot?
Work
that's how long
me.
It took for me to get there. All right, so that is out. Thank you. Out of Darkness. And that, when we come back on the movie show, we've got a couple of other movies we want to talk about, including a cute one and a German one, so another foreign language.
KSL Movie Show.
The end is inevitable. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
The week's big movie review. Games and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Right now, we are being so unoffensive, we might as well be a Hallmark Christmas movie. You know what I'm saying?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Steve, we've got a lot of votes from our listeners when we said, what's your favorite rom-com? Supposedly, Utah's is The Princess Bride, but we've got a lot of people who are saying You've Got Mail.
Oh.
And While You Were Sleeping.
Oh.
Which
what about Sleepless in Seattle?
You've Got Mail or Sleepless in Seattle. Both for me, they said this texture. Here's one. I like the rom-com The Invention of Lying with Ricky Gervais.
Wow.
That's one I wouldn't have expected to see. Oh, here's a classic. Some Like It Hot.
Yeah. Oh,
1959. Jack Lemmon, Marilyn Monroe, Tony Curtis. Yeah. That is a great one. That was voted the AFI's greatest comedy of all time, too. Return to Me. Oh, the one with Minnie Driver.
Yes.
That's a good one. That is a
and
good
David
one.
David Duchovny.
Warm Bodies. Okay, that is a zombie rom-com.
It is.
That's kind of a little bit of what we got with Lisa Frankenstein.
No, this is Warm Bodies.
Well, no, but like it was somebody falling in love with a zombie.
Yeah, true.
So, all right, we'll keep them coming. 57500, your favorite rom-com. Or, hey, you know what? Send us your favorite line from The Princess Bride, which is supposedly Utah's favorite rom-com.
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife.
Gustavo's got one for us. Let's play one of the Princess Bride clips just to get the flavor.
Got very good arms.
He didn't fall? Inconceivable.
You keep using the word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Mandy Patinkin. That is so good. All right, so do that. Send us your favorite Princess Bride quote or your favorite rom-com. Steve, let's review Popular Theory, this cute movie.
Okay.
Telling me not to enter the science fair is like telling me not to breathe.
I'd give anything to be popular.
This gum will make you popular.
I love your hair, Casey.
You do?
It's like poetry.
History has been made!
So to me, this is like a kiddie version of Weird Science and The Nutty Professor, kind of. Just a little bit both. A 12-year-old genius girl named Erwin. She's named after the scientist Erwin Schrödinger. Famous for his cat paradox.
Yeah.
Anyway, she teams up with this fellow high school outcast child genius Winston on a science project where they figure out the formula to make someone popular, and then they infuse that formula into chewing gum. And they have some success turning two regular teenage weirdos into high school equivalent of rock stars, but then they start to dream maybe they're going to win the Nobel Prize. And then Erwin decides to try it out herself, and she sees that maybe just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. So I really liked it. I thought it was cute, funny. I thought that especially the two kids, were really good actors.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a reason that this trope works so often with the kids that are the geniuses, and they discover the thing. I liked seeing Cheryl Hines, yeah. And then Mark Evan Jackson, who, if you've watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he played Andre Brower's husband on the show.
Oh.
He's like the perfect dry, like, you. It's one of those people that you don't know him by name, but when you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, I've seen them in a whole bunch of different things. So I just like that. And I actually liked the actress and the character of Erwin's older sister who's trying to be popular herself. And for me, it was the perfect length, 90 minutes.
That's always nice.
Right? And I thought this, for me, was a good solid B.
Yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I thought, you know, it's nice to see a movie where the kids are smart.
Yeah.
And they figure stuff out.
And not smart Alec.
Right, because they're not jerks about
smart.
It.
Smart, yeah.
Yeah. Although, the beginning, you know, with the thing with the bullies, it always drives me crazy, you know. There's always that scene at the beginning of every one of these movies
yes.
where, like, oh, well, where'd you buy those clothes? You know, that kind of crap.
But she turned the tables on them, and then she turned into a jerk herself.
Yeah,
the,
that's true.
The
sort
one,
of like Mean Girls.
The teenage rock star kid. But so, yeah, I also liked that it was appropriate, safe, and enjoyable for the whole family. That means a lot to me with a family that I like to watch movies with.
Yeah. Did you watch it with your kids?
I did not, but I will.
Ah.
So what did you give it?
I gave it a B.
A B. So there's a B for both of us, and that is Popular Theory. It is rated PG and is in theaters. All right, Steve, before we go to break, let's talk about the Teacher's Lounge.
Ooh, yes.
Hat aber nichts mit Magie zu tun, sondern Mathematik.
Yeah, we don't need a long clip because it's all in German.
I love how Gustavo loves pulling foreign language
clips.
I still
think we should dub it ourselves, but that's just me.
Oh, that's awful. Okay, so there's a really cool teacher in this high school. And she's really popular. Everybody loves her. She's, you know, always has the greatest ideas. You can just tell by her excitement, she's a great teacher. There's something happening, though, at the school in that money is missing. There's somebody stealing money from lockers or coat pockets or whatever. And so the principal, the two of the main administrators come to her class, tell all the girls to go outside and then just talk to the boys. And this is after they've picked on a couple of the class presidents to come up with, we kind of need a name. What do you think? Who's like probably the most troublemaking person in your class? Well, it's got to be Lucas or whatever, Oscar or whatever. And it turns out the kid is Muslim. And so they bring the kid in and the parents. And the dad says, I would cut off his leg before I would let him steal. So how dare
Let's
you?
Let's emphasize that this movie is from Germany.
Yeah. The point was that you picking on us because my son is Muslim? Is that what's going on?
Right.
There? And so the teacher's standing there watching all this and horrified. She thinks, well, I'll try to figure out a way that I can catch the thief. She puts money in her pocket in the teacher's lounge and then leaves her computer open with the camera going and catches somebody reaching in the pocket, but all you see is a sleeve. So how do you go? But it's a very prominent sleeve. So anyway, she's trying to protect these kids. And in the process, now she's kind of involved because the principal sees the video. They know who it is. And it's all just a big, giant mess. And the kid, Oscar, who's in this young woman's class, he says, you're going to pay for blaming my mother for this crime. And it becomes a drama. And this is a high school story, and it is done beautifully. This is my favorite movie of the week, A-, Teacher's Lounge. It is playing, I believe it's playing at the Broadway and at the Jordan Commons, but I'm not positive. You'll have to find it. The Teacher's Lounge, see this movie.
German with English subtitles.
Yes.
Awesome. So The Teacher's Lounge. All right. When we get back on the movie show, we are going to have our movie show top 10.
10, 9. The KSL Movie Show, top 10. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Steve, the movie show top 10, and it's interesting as we change over from all the big movies at the end of the year and we get into now this kind of a little more dry stretch of January and early February till things start to ramp up. Just what makes the top 10 and where it sits? Like,
well, the good thing about January and February is that's when Utah gets to see all the Academy Award nominated, the little obscure films that, you know, you may not have, because they only opened.
Yeah.
Yeah. They opened in New York and L.A. for 20 minutes.
And they're going to be talking about them at the Oscars and in all the awards, and it's a chance to see it. So,
and that's where the Teacher's Lounge comes in as one of those that was Germany's entry, and it just, I could have sworn it made it, but maybe not.
Yeah, and I was so bad my link expired until it was too late and I didn't get a chance to watch it. All right, so number 10 on our movie show top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services, by the way. And we want you to, from repair and replacement and installation, callclimate.com.
And by the way, they're just down the road here.
We should say hi on our way home.
We should.
All right, so number 10, Steve, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, just hanging on, probably going to drop out finally after 7 or 8 weeks.
Yeah, but it's made $424 million, which is not, you know, great for a, you know, a superhero movie, but it's still a pretty good movie.
And you and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we were the two.
Yeah, the two. Number 9, Poor Things.
This one actually has picked up. It was only like at 19 million. Now it's at 29 domestic, 40 foreign. It's a $69 million movie.
It is a movie as art.
Yes, there's a
not
a lot
so much
to be,
a movie as entertainment, although it does have some funny moments in it for sure.
Well, it's funny because I came out of Lisa Frankenstein and I was talking about, well, that was weird. And he goes, oh, were you watching Poor Things?
The guy at the theater said that?
Yeah, the usher.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. And then number 8, American Fiction. Really liked this one.
And yet it's made only $16 million, nothing foreign.
Have they even released it foreign?
Maybe not. Maybe it's because it's
called American Fiction. That's a good point. Jeffrey Wright, though, it's a dramedy, but when it's funny, it is really funny.
And when it's poignant, it's really poignant.
Yeah. Number 7, Anyone But You, the rom-com. That's one if you want to see a rom-com. Don't go to Lisa Frankenstein. Go to Anyone But You.
That's true. And they brought it back for Valentine's Day.
So. That makes sense.
And it's done well. 77 domestic, 76 foreign. It's $152 million for a movie that probably people don't know who the leads are. And
well, you'll recognize them.
Yeah,
but you wouldn't know them by name yet. But after this, you might, because it's done really well. Sure. Number 6, Mean Girls, the musical, dropping a little bit.
Just about to go over $100 million worldwide, so it's doing okay.
My teenage daughter loved it. I thought it was okay, and I like that it's kind of a refreshing of, I mean, dating changes so much, and especially dating in high school and high school life changes so much in 10, 20 years.
It's almost a whole different movie.
It really is. And then number 5, Migration. Wow, that's still at number 5.
107
the animated
domestic,
duck movie.
116 foreign. It's a 223.
That's amazing. Number 4, Wonka. Not surprised that one's still up there because it was great. It was magical.
202 domestic, 371 foreign, 573 total.
I'm always impressed when they stay in the top 10 even after they hit streaming. That's a testament to a good movie.
True.
Number 3, The Beekeeper.
Yes. 50 domestic, 73 foreign. It's at 124.
Is this considered a success then?
It is. They didn't spend a lot of money on this one.
Okay. So. And then number two, not a movie, but the first three episodes of The Chosen, season four, number two on its debut.
Yeah. It made $9 million. Since the last weekend.
That is awesome. Number one, and Julie from NPS talked about how she loved seeing it in the theater. Number one, Argyle. Actually, for a second, thought it wasn't going to debut at number one.
It's close. 20 domestic, 17 foreign. It's made 37.
And I was just, it's okay, but to me, it's more of a, much more of a miss than a hit.
I agree.
All right, so that is the movie show top 10. Make sure you stick around because in hour number two of the movie show, we're going to lead it off with an interview with our favorite, the commish, Virginia Pierce, as we talk about Utah-made movies that were so romantic, just in time for Valentine's.
Con Air.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The week's big movie review. News, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
We're slow learners. We're not particularly good listeners.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's the movie show.
Is there a song we can use, like Hail to the Queen?
That would be really awesome. We were thinking about this during the break, and we have our monthly guest of the Utah Film Commissioner, Virginia Pierce. And Virginia, we need to get you like a theme song,
like some
something
pageantry
that we play when you come on.
Oh, yes, I need my own theme song.
A version of "Hail to the Chief," "Hail to the Commission." We're gonna have to put our best minds on that.
Uh-oh.
If we can find some and find out, because I think that would actually be really cool to have you on. You know, have some music that intros you every time.
Yeah, I need a
that way. You'd
song.
Have to come back. That way, you'd have to join us every month. She's like, I don't know about it. I'm not making that deal.
Well, Virginia, we're coming up on Valentine's Day, and one of the things we're celebrating throughout the entire year 2024 is 100 years of films in Utah. And so how's the first month gone so far? You kicked it off right before Sundance. You've got the display up at the Capitol. How's that going so far?
So good. There's been so many great events and screenings, and of course the exhibit, as you mentioned, it's just a fun way to celebrate all the history. There's so many great films that I don't think people realize were shot here.
Well, Steve's excited for this week's Megaplex movie that was shot in Utah.
So much. The Searchers Wayne.
Yes. Amazing.
It's one of
have you
one
when's
of
the
best...
last time you saw it? Has it been a minute?
Probably 20 years ago on a TV that was barely not black and white.
It'll be great on the big screen.
Oh, I can't wait. I really, that's one I will definitely go see.
So we wanted to talk to you today because there was a study that we mostly disagree with just from, you know, anecdotal polling of ourselves, that Utah's favorite rom-com is The Princess Bride. And so we want to suggest...
Wow.
Yeah, well, we want to suggest there may be some other movies that were shot in Utah that should be our favorite instead. I mean, don't get me wrong, because I love The Princess Bride. But let's talk about some movies that were shot in Utah with a romance angle that we should offer
so
up as what
ones.
Should be. Okay, so tell us some. What are some of your faves?
Well, I mean, when I was making my list, of course, I did not include all of the beautiful Hallmark films that are shot here. They feel more Christmas, although of course they're very romantic.
But the Hallmark,
when I was
course,
making my
yeah.
list, I mean, do you remember the movie Drive Me Crazy, 1999? Melissa Joan Hart and Adrian Grenier.
So my youngest brother
barely.
Was an extra in the background.
And
he actually tweeted a picture. He took a screenshot of the scene where you can see his hair as he exits a shot from Ogden High. He and his buddy got to be an extra on that movie.
It's such a good movie. And because I'm at the Capitol right now, it makes me laugh because back in 1999, the Utah State Capitol gave them permission to shoot the final prom scene at the Capitol, which would never happen today. But it's a very fun piece of cinematic history if you go back and watch it.
I had my prom at the Capitol my junior year.
Well,
that would have been extra
I
cool.
I mean, I think they do that, but I don't think they film it.
No, I think you're right. Shooting a movie in the Capitol would be a different story today. But what are some other ones? I think I didn't realize that Legally Blonde 2 was shot in Utah. I didn't know that.
The whole thing wasn't shot here, but again, with the Capitol, her Reese Witherspoon's character, why am I blanking on her name? Elle Woods walks up the front steps of what's supposed to be the U.S. Capitol, but is actually the Utah State Capitol. So that's pretty fun.
I didn't know she was in Utah shooting any of that. That's so cool.
Yeah, I know.
Now here's one that I didn't know was filmed in Utah, but as soon as John Cusack told everybody at FanX, and then I thought back about it, I was like, oh yeah, duh, it does look familiar. Better Off Dead, 1985, one of my favorite movies. All the ski scenes were shot at Alta.
It's a classic. Yeah, actually, I think they were at Snowbird.
Or Snowbird. Okay, I knew it was the same canyon.
Yeah, oh, I want my $2.
That's one of my faves.
Like, that was all here in Utah. And again, I was in high school at that time. John Cusack was, you know, I was a big fan. So, of course, that's on my list, too.
Now, tell me about The Electric Horseman, because that one sounds familiar, but I don't know what it is.
Oh, my gosh. Robert Redford, Jane Fonda. Oh, classic Redford. You know, past his prime cowboy, performing in Vegas, decides to walk off with his $1 million horse and all of his rhinestone glory and head out into the wilderness to save the horse. And Jane Fonda is the intrepid reporter who follows him. It's amazing, and if you have not seen it, you need to see it, because they both are young and incredibly attractive, and it's just a great story.
And a lot of it was shot in St. George, right?
Most of it St. George, yeah, Southern Utah.
Snow Canyon, yeah.
Now, this one doesn't surprise anybody, since it's still a tourist attraction, but High School Musical.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that's a romance, right? We can call
that a romance. For sure. And both of the stars have grown up to be quite attractive adults as well. And doing their own romance movies.
Well, then you got to put Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid in there, right?
Well, I would assume.
Yeah, or is that a bromance?
Well, I mean, Catherine, what's her face?
Hey, Palentine's Day, right? Palentine's?
Palentine's.
Like friends?
They go way back to the dark.
I can get behind that.
Angel and the Bad Man. With John Wayne.
Wow.
And then you've got the rom-com on here on your list, Virginia, that no girl in my family has ever been able to watch without crying, and that's Charlie.
Oh, I love Charlie.
Yeah.
In fact, they sometimes won't watch it because they're like, I'm not ready to cry today. We can't watch Charlie.
You know, I'm on the box art for that.
Are you
on
really?
On the DVD, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Well,
you
what's
are?
Yeah. I said, Heather Beers is the perfect Charlie.
Wow. Okay.
So he can say nice things about something.
He can be a nice guy. Amazing.
Oh, no.
Well, Virginia, any projects coming up you want to tell us about, or anything that's been announced, or anything that's getting closer to release that we should look for?
Well, speaking of romance, there is a Hallmark film shooting right now, and that is called Branching Out. Will probably hit the Hallmark Channel, I don't know, sometime this summer or fall. So you should look for that one. They're shooting in and around Salt Lake, so you may even see the signs.
Oh, okay.
And as far as other things that are coming,
we watched one called
Recovering from the Strike.
We watched one called Inheritance to Love. That we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show, but that one was very clearly filmed here in Utah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yes, that's definitely, that's right. That just came out, or it's coming out, right?
Yeah, it comes out today, yeah.
Yeah, oh, perfect. Yeah, great.
So, well, all right, Virginia, thank you so much for taking some time. Enjoy your time up at the Capitol. So go up and say hi to Virginia and check out that 100 years of film in Utah, and go see The Searchers this week, right?
Oh, yes. Such a good movie.
Yes, amazing.
Well, Virginia, thanks for joining us.
All right, great to talk to you.
All righty. Well, we'll catch up with you hopefully again in a month.
Okay. We'll see you then.
All right. Thanks, Virginia.
The Movie Show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real.
On KSL News Radio.
All righty. It's the movie show. Steve, it's time for the big streaming movie.
Planning a
show.
Weekend okay. On the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the movie show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Okay, Steve, we got a lot of streaming that we've got in a kind of a short time. So let's start with Halo.
Okay.
I bring you blessings. Know that I am the instrument of your extinction. Know that I am death.
All right, so this is season two of the, I say surprisingly successful series Halo, because nobody was quite sure what it was going to do, and the way that some video game adaptations have kind of fallen flat. But when this came out in 2022, man, it was good. It looked like a movie.
Yeah.
They spared no expense on the graphics, but what made it work, because there have been some very expensive CG flops.
Yeah.
Jupiter's Legacy.
Oops.
But the story matched it. And even for people who hadn't played the video game, it was an interesting enough premise. And they teased it out, or the way that they broke it out was just enough episodes. It wasn't too many. And they weren't, you didn't feel like you got shortchanged and, okay, what's next? But you got a story that was compelling, and it had pretty good performances.
Well, wait till you see season two. And the guy that plays Master Chief, Pedro something or other, he's just one of those big dudes like Reacher.
You know, I was thinking like Alan Richardson, what would he look like in the Master Chief armor?
Well, they're all big, all the Spartans, they have this little, group of soldiers. And the Covenant is the aliens that are trying to take over Earth and just wipe us out.
And so did you see all the episodes?
I saw
a few of them.
I saw probably more than half of them. I sort of went back and did a quick little, relook at some of the later stuff. But the season two, they're committed. They're in. And it's really good looking.
And that's what I was going to say. If you didn't watch season one and now you've got season two, it is worth a look. And it is really well done. Good sci-fi, good action. And I haven't played the video game, and I found myself really enjoying it.
Well, I watched the first two episodes of the new season, and they're marvelous.
All right. So that is Halo, and it is on Paramount Plus, and it is on the basic Paramount Plus. You don't have to have that Showtime add-on. All right. Let's talk about Upgraded.
If I want to work at a top art gallery, I got to get a good recommendation.
I just got invited to go to London with Claire DuPont.
If you're not too busy being a swanky art director, I would love to take you out.
I lied to him about so many things.
All right, Camila Mendez, and this is a much more traditional rom-com than Lisa Frankenstein. She's on the TV show Riverdale. She plays Anna, an intern for a Manhattan auction house, and she's super talented, and of course she's perpetually overlooked. I mean, there are tropes that have to be
followed.
She's
the Cinderella of the company.
Yeah, and so she gets a chance to be a low-level assistant for an art auction in London. She gets upgraded to first class on the flight, and while she's there on the flight, she meets a handsome rich guy who she ends up leading to believe that she's her boss, who's actually Marissa Tomei.
With a strange accent.
Yeah, and which then leads to Camila's character getting all these opportunities she wouldn't get otherwise. And then, of course, it all comes crashing down because we have to have resolution and we have to fix things. So not exactly an original concept. Mistaken identity is a staple for rom-coms. But I just thought what worked was Camila Mendes and Marissa Tomei. They were good. I mean, she gets to Marissa's like Devil Wears Prada type boss.
Yes.
And I just thought the two of them made what was an average movie slightly better than average.
But she lied so much.
She did.
It's just to the point where it became pathological. I'm like, how are you going to dig your way out of this, even if they do the old tropes?
She's going to stand out front with the boombox up above her head.
That might have worked. That
actually,
might be the
somebody,
last.
When I described this movie to them, he said, well, that sounds like Working Girl.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh. So,
yeah,
maybe, but yeah, for me, Upgraded was a C+.
Oh, and plus, Lena Olin plays the kid's mom. She's amazing.
She was good, yes. That's true. I should have remembered Lena Olin and added her. She did make it good as well.
Yeah, so there's stuff here that's enjoyable. I just thought, wow, you have dug yourself a giant hole, and you're going to have to do some kind of paint-by-numbers, routine to get out of it. So that was my only disappointment.
All right, so we're going to talk about a documentary called Lover, Stalker, Killer when we get back, as well as a show called One Day. But we'll have all that plus telephone torture coming up on the movie show.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone torture.
All right, Steve, it's time for telephone torture. And
do not resuscitate.
Division of Natural Resources, is what DNR stands for.
Oh, well,
talking about
everything.
Conservation. That's some of the KSL swag we're giving away here at NPS if you come and say hi to us in Layton. But, Steve, it's time for Telephone Torture. And in honor of the superest of bowl games this weekend, which includes your favorite team, the 49ers.
That used to be a jacket.
It's a coat. It's been well-loved.
Yeah, I think it burned up on re-entry.
Stop. All right, so Telephone Torture, our theme is a football movie. So if you want to try to win great prizes from the Megaplex Theaters, call 801-575-8255, 801-575-TALK, 801-KSL-TALK, all of that. People don't have the letters on the numbers anymore, so we have to give out the full number. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask you questions. All of these questions are about the same movie, and the theme is a football movie. If you answer the question right on the air, you win a great prize package from the Megaplex Theaters. This week, you will be able to choose between the Valentine's Prize or the Galentine's Prize. And they're really awesome, but we don't have time to tell you what they all are right this second. We will, though, if you are the winner.
Yeah.
So, do we have our first potential contestant on the line? If we don't, I can tell you about the prizes. No, but we also have, feel free to text in the correct answer to 57500 once you think you know it, because if we don't get an answer correct on the phones, we will go to the first correct.
If we don't get a correct answer on this one,
you should get it. All right, so who's our first potential winner and or loser?
Lois.
All right, Lois.
Yes.
You a big football fan? Because this is a football movie.
Well, kind of, but one just came into my mind. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, well, we'll see if this is it. All right.
Okay.
This movie features footage filmed during an actual Monday Night Football game, including the iconic ABC broadcasters Frank Gifford, Al Michaels, and Dan Dierdorf.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What I was going to say was Brian's Song. Remember that
Brian's
movie?
Song. That is a great.
That's what you should have picked.
Classic yes. Football movie, and it makes grown men cry to this day.
I'm tearing up just thinking about it.
Is that the correct answer, Corey?
Negative Ghost Rider.
Oh, but it is a good guess, Lois, and thank you for trying. All right, who's our next potential
she got
winner?
Nuked. That was a hard clue.
That was not a hard clue.
That was if you didn't mention the teams.
That's true. I should have done that, yes. All right. Who do we have here? We don't have anybody here. We have scared them off on the football topic. 801-575-8255. 801-575-TALK. I'm going to just give the next clue out now, and we'll start taking stuff on the text line. If we don't have anybody who wants to try it on the phone, so be it. All right. Who do we have? Okay, here's the next clue. This movie, while not specifically about a football player, nonetheless earned the actor who played the key football player in the movie, Cuba Gooding Jr., not only an Oscar nomination.
Who played for the Arizona Cardinals.
But it also got him an Oscar win.
Yes.
So, I mean, we've given out two clues.
That's easy.
Monday Night Football. We've had a lot of guesses. We do have a correct guess on the text line. So if we get somebody who's willing to call in 575-TALK and tell us the correct answer, my sister-in-law just guessed Saving Private Ryan. Or maybe it was
Christmas for her.
Okay. All right. Do we have any callers yet? 801-575-TALK. We've got somebody. Who is it?
It's John.
John, have you won in the last 90 days?
Have not.
Okay, John. Do you know the answer right now?
Big guess, Titans.
You're guessing Remember the Titans?
Yep.
Is that correct, Corey?
Oh, John. Dear.
John, I appreciate you calling in, but that is not correct. All right, here's clue number three. Two lines from this movie instantly became classics. You had me at hello and show me the money. Now that's going to send an avalanche to the text line. All right, so we are going to go with our text line winner. You who sent in, well, we've got a lot of good football guesses, but the first correct question or correct answer is Jerry Maguire, and whoever's phone number ends with 0188, congratulations.
Ooh, that's mine.
You win the Megaplex prize pack of a Valentine's or a Galentine's prize, which Gustavo will let you know through the text line. So congratulations. That is a Telephone Torture sponsored by Megaplex Theaters. Just a reminder, you too can have that Valentine's deal with Valentine's dinner and a movie. Two reserved tickets, a dinner for two, popcorn, drinks, and a specialty caramel apple to share.
Aww.
What an awesome thing.
You have to share it, though, huh?
And then we've got, or you can also get the Galentine's Pink Party, which is you and a guest, and then you'll get a movie, two movie tickets, two small popcorns, and two drinks. These are all things that you can get through Megaplex, as well as the Made in Utah series, continuing with the Searchers this week.
So I'm a little new in America. Is Galentine like the ladies?
It's when two ladies who just hang out. They don't have boyfriends. They don't have significant others, but they're going to spend time together and not feel less than on Valentine's
Beautiful.
Day. It's
Beautiful.
From the Parks and Recreation. So that is our friends at the Megaplex Theaters. Steve, right before we let's review really quick Lover, Stalker, Killer on Netflix. Let's skip the sound.
Prosecutors allege a love triangle turned fatal.
I was starting over as a single person, and I was determined to enjoy it. That's when Kiri Farber came into my life. She says, look, this is just fun. And I was like, oh, my God. Yes.
All right, here's the gist. A divorced guy in Nebraska goes online, meets a lady, keeps it casual, meets another lady, keeps it casual, but then things go, shall we say, awry. Suddenly he's getting all these crazy stalker texts from lady number two, including pictures of the slashed clothing of lady number one, but neither the guy nor the police can track down lady number two despite all the threats. And then it starts to get really weird.
I mean, this is one of the craziest. You figured it out before I did, but I was like, why would anyone go on a dating app after seeing this?
Right.
But it's like we saw a couple weeks ago, American Nightmare,
yes,
where it really had a lot of twists and turns. That's what this does. Is this Netflix?
It is Netflix. I actually didn't think this was quite as good as American Nightmare.
No.
But the idea that somebody can stalk and harass you so thoroughly for so long is a terrifying thought.
Yeah, and the cops are, they can't do anything about it.
Yeah. So that is called Lover, Stalker, Killer. I gave it a B minus, and
I'd be a little higher. I'd give it a B.
Be a little bit higher, and that is on Netflix. All right. When we come back on the movie show, we will do rapid fire and wrap things up.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Well, congratulations to our winner on the text line for guessing Jerry Maguire as the football movie on Telephone Torture.
I didn't think that was going to be hard at all.
I didn't, but people were just panicked. I mean, they just did not want to. They wanted to be the next caller.
Titans.
All right, Steve, let's review our final movie of the day, locally produced and locally made, Inheritance to Love. Okay. It was...
It's a silent movie.
It's a rom-com about a divorced single mom and a bankrupt widowed father who find out that a former boss of theirs has died, and so they each stand to inherit $1 million if they can spend 10 days without their phone in a luxurious cabin in the mountains. Sounds easy, right? Well, the catch is they have to spend it together at the cabin, and there's some pretty thick history between the two, as in one of them left the other at the altar 25 years before.
Yeah, and his explanation of that did not make me happy. But they kept putting it off. But the thing that's cute about this movie is, yeah, there is that caveat between them that they don't, she does not want anything to do with this guy, almost to the point where she's going to walk out. But they both have to stay there at the cabin,
yes,
for the full 10 days. And then it gets kind of cute, to be honest. And I actually thought, did this movie deserve that?
Yeah. I said that to me, it was a really mixed bag. It feels low budget at times, and I'm sure it probably was. I mean, there's just when you're locally making, you just don't.
Well, the whole thing is in the cabin, pretty much.
Yeah, and I thought the lead actors, Jason Wade and Talitha Hanks, I sometimes felt like they were community theater production. But again, this is where I think maybe the budget played a role, and they didn't have time necessarily to get as many takes until they got it exactly the way they wanted. I mean, those are real factors for local productions, as I've learned over the years.
Plus our good friend Kales Goodman, who played the lawyer at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny.
But at any rate, here's the thing. I have several caveats. They have just enough moments of sincerity, Jason and Talitha, and emotion that at different times it kept me from losing hope. And that kind of thought, okay, I can see why they got cast. They did nail that part. And I really do think there's nuggets of a good story and some character possibilities. I just really wish it could have been done on a bigger level. But that's for me. So I gave Inheritance to Love a C-. It is kind of, to me, an intro to rom-com
for
your kids.
You give it a C- after all that love gush? Come on.
Well, it still is what it is. It's 100% clean. And if your kids have never seen a rom-com before, then they won't be like, well, there's no comparison. It's a great intro. It's clean and it's cute. But it's C-. I mean, I can't give it like an A or something like that.
Wow. Pretty harsh.
And it's playing at a couple of local theaters, one in Kaysville and then one at the Megaplex.
Payson.
Payson, right. And then
I think the Jordan Commons is showing it also.
Jordan Commons.
Inheritance to Love. It's just is, you know. And Jason Wade is the lead, and you've seen him in a lot of LDS cinema films. This is not one of them, but...
No, this one's very neutral. All right, Steve, let's rapid fire really quick. Lisa Frankenstein.
Boy, unless you...
This is a no for me.
Super goth, no.
A couple moments. If you do watch it, maybe watch it with friends. Teacher's Lounge.
Definitely one of the greatest films of the year, I thought, last year.
Out of Darkness?
It's... Wanted to be Prehistoric Predator, but it didn't hit the landing.
Popular Theory, about the kid geniuses inventing the creation of popularity in a chewing gum. I thought it was very cute.
That was adorable. Yeah.
And it's family friendly. And then we've got Inheritance to Love, we just mentioned. Lover, Stalker, Killer on Netflix.
Oh, it got my attention. I thought, oh boy, okay.
No, it's freaky.
No dating sites for me.
Upgraded on Prime Video. Camilla,
she's so cute. And such a liar. She didn't need to do all that lying. It was ridiculous.
I know, isn't that sad? And then we've got One Day on Netflix. We never got to that.
Yeah, no,
I guess we never did. Based on a book, Anne Hathaway made a movie version of it in 2011. It's about two friends who meeting at the they really meet on the last day of college before graduation, and then it checks in with them on the same day every year over 14 years. It's 14 20. Half hour episodes.
20 years.
Well, okay, but it's 14 half hour episodes. Oh. Don't have much more time. I thought it was pretty cute, and I really liked the casting because it made the stuff about her feel a lot more genuine when stuff happened.
It didn't hook me. I thought the kid was a brat.
And then Halo.
Halo, yes.
On Paramount Plus.
If you haven't even played the game, it's really good stuff.
All right, Steve, good luck to your 49ers this Sunday.
Oh, good grief. Thank you. Hopefully.
Thanks for listening to The Movie Show. We'll catch you next week.